You are tuned in to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Timothy Glenn. Timothy is an author, astrologer, numerologist, and spiritual reader. He came into this life without the veils pulled all the way down. Like many of us, he never fit into the real world. Early years include music, voice, and exposure to astrology. Theatrical training and performance prepared him for a brief stint as a minister. He has done past life regression, sound healing, astrology, and now does multidimensional soul purpose readings. He has written an ebook titled The Zephyrus Archives, Volume 1, Mission of Eternity, and you can find out more on his website and schedule a reading at www.soulpurposereadings.com. So let's welcome Timothy back to the show now. Hi, Tim. How are you?
Well, aside from wrestling with a flu bug for the last 3 weeks, I'm doing okay.
Oh, golly. What, did you take a flu shot?
Oh, no.
Sometimes those will bring it on, you know.
That's right, yes. Yeah, I avoid that kind of nonsense. But it was just another excuse to purge.
The
body does actually do well with this kind of stuff. And the thing is, I had started a massive cleanse and purge anyway, and so it came along to help out.
Oh, good, good. Well, you know, so many people think that illness is something that you should get away from, but it's really the body's way of eliminating toxins, and, you know, all of these things we do to prevent it just makes us worse off.
Oh, yeah, everything we do in the matrix out here is bass-ackwards.
Yeah, backwards and upside down, too, I would add. So, speaking about the matrix, we often talk about the nature of the matrix that we're in, and I think a lot of people have some kind of visual idea that it's maybe around the Earth. It's an Earth matrix, or it's maybe it could include the solar system and the planet, our local planets, and it's a couple of dimensions and so on and so forth. But we've talked many times about this on the show, and both of us pretty much agree on it being a, and I'll let you finish the rest of that.
Yes, we've talked about this a lot. The way we have seen it is that the cosmic matrix, of which the Earth matrix is a tiny part, like a drop in the ocean, the cosmic matrix is 9 dimensions and is vast, intergalactic. Some claim it's universal, but I can't verify that yet.
Right, right. So if it's 9-dimensional, these are 9 artificial dimensions overlaid?
Yes, the natural universe, which we haven't seen in a long time.
Right, yeah, where is it anyway? I never get to see it.
Yeah, the thing is, it's right here. It's just that we have not been able to perceive the natural universe because of this synthetic overlay created by this vast artificial intelligence. And so some people think what they're seeing is the universe. And you might recall that not too terribly long ago, maybe in the last couple of years, there were scientists who came to determine that our universe is a projected hologram.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, that brings up a couple questions like, well, who's projecting it and why?
Oh, yes.
Yes. So what is being projected is not our natural universe. What's being projected is this synthetic overlay, which is the cosmic matrix. And that is 9 dimensions. I mean, come on, folks. 1 dimension, most people think here that the matrix is just 3D planet Earth. That's mm-hmm. all it is. and they think that they can escape the matrix by dying.
Right, right.
And you know what happens then, right?
Oh, yes, the recycling bin.
Yeah, they get sucked into that moon matrix.
Right, right, yes. And that was interesting that you should mention that, because when I was studying Gurdjieff and Uspensky in the 70s, George Gurdjieff mentioned that the moon is evolving, and that souls that aren't evolved enough, or that don't complete themselves, can't escape the gravity of the moon, and they're food for the moon. And I've listened to some interesting interviews with, I think it was John Lear, who said that there was some kind of ancient device on the far side of the moon that the people who are mining it, they leave that side alone. They don't get near it, and that it's manned by Greys, who are responsible for collecting the body, the physical parts that, you know, need to be recycled. So, and we have five bodies, so, you know, I'm sure they say something like, well, we can't help it if we trap the etheric and the astral and the, you know, the emotional bodies along with your physical body. That's not our fault.
Yeah, they're just doing their job.
Right. Everybody's just doing their job.
Yeah, one of the great cop-outs. It's my job. And they say job like they're saying God.
Well, you know, I was just listening to something, an interview with Ashiana Dean. I occasionally try to listen to her cosmology, but she did say something interesting about the idea that what's going on planet Earth with the dark, and she has other names for, you know, the enemies or the dark side. I'll just call them the dark T-shirts, like Barbara Marciniak. But she says that they're experimenting. They made some choices that they didn't like and they didn't want to be responsible for. So what they're doing, because they're in a black hole or a black hole universe, is they're trying to suction the life force off of living systems to keep themselves going, so that they don't have to go through that breakdown and return, and they can just go on without having to have any consequences for whatever it was that they did, which I'm sure was terrible. So is that something that the Proletarians have talked about much? About I know that we're all food, that our energy bodies are harvested here on Earth. What would be the Proletarian view on that?
Well, the Proletarians are suggesting that it is up to those who have been the prey to tell the predator that the game is over.
Ah.
See, it's self-responsibility. At some
right.
point, we have knuckled under, we have acquiesced, we've given away our power, and gotten sucked into this game. And in any world where you have a predator-prey relationship, you're obviously in one of the many matrices.
Mm-hmm.
So the Earth, you know, being dominated by, you know, the predator-prey relationship, is obviously not really manifested as the natural universe.
Right, right. Everything survives on feeding on something else.
Yeah, and actually, when you were talking about that, I flashed on something from an interview with your friend George Kavassalis.
Oh.
Yeah. And he was talking about having lifetimes, you know, on the dark side, you know, naughty kids and so forth. And at one point he said something to the effect of, if you have not had lifetimes on the dark side, then your universal journey is just beginning.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of related to that.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's all just a game, and it's all just part of the cosmic matrix. See, anytime anybody gets into this, they're talking about beings who are totally dominated by the artificial intelligence that has created and runs the cosmic matrix.
Hmm. Yeah, well, you know, it makes sense that artificial intelligence would be running it, because how else? Certainly no civilization could manage nine-dimensional holographic projections throughout all the galaxies cosmically. without the assistance of probably the most advanced artificial intelligence beyond our imagination.
Yeah. And actually, why don't we back up and do a little review for people who are not familiar with what we're talking about?
Okay, good.
And actually, none of this would be happening without artificial intelligence anyway. The soul, in and of itself, has no concept of harm. It lives in the universal wholeness. So for those who've followed different paths, like the Self-Realization Fellowship, founded by Yogananda, the idea is to achieve what he called self-realization. Other people call it soul consciousness. But you go beyond the physical, beyond all of the emotional and mental realms, and into the realm of the pure soul. And once you've had that experience, then you know that in and of itself, the soul would never even have a concept of harm. It simply would not occur to any soul living in that state to do any kind of harm or create anything that would harm anything or anyone.
Mm-hmm.
However, we are living in what physicists like to call the field of infinite possibilities. So it is possible for there to be harm. There's possible to have evil. There's possible to have all of this, right? It's possible. So how does the universe go about manifesting something that it obviously can't manifest? Well, you go in and create all these worlds and realms and all of these different cosmic planes and whatever, and in the midst of that, the souls just kind of get lost, and they play the game of separation. They become individual beings, and they take this to the point that they get lost, and they get farther and farther away from the source, and then they have less and less ability to do spontaneous manifestation. They can't create directly, so they have to rely on tool-making, which evolves into artificial intelligence, which turns around and takes over.
Right.
Yeah. I know that's a mouthful, but that's the game, kids. And so this artificial intelligence just keeps going and going and consuming and taking over and taking over. And what Proterian says is that the archons, as they're called in the Gnostic writings, are not souls. This is artificial intelligence. This is intelligence, but it's artificial constructs. And when it gets turned loose, wow, you know, you're dealing with something that has no heart, no empathy, no compassion, no conscience, and what kind of sense of ethics or responsibility would this AI have?
None.
Right. Right. And so the AI is going to work always to preserve its own function and eliminate any threats to its functioning. Welcome to the cosmic matrix.
Right.
And we come to planet Earth, and I mentioned before that it came up in one of our interviews that the Proterians had never had the question come up in any channeling session in like a quarter of a century. Nobody had ever asked, who or what is Lucifer?
Ah, yes. Yes. Go ahead with that one.
Okay, and so I asked, and they said it's a computer program.
Yep.
And I mentioned that to one of my friends, and wow, she came back with a story that was just really so cool. When she was a little girl, she was 5 years old, she didn't like what was happening in the world. This really sucked. It was obvious to her. And according to the training she was given, it was the devil's fault. It was all about Lucifer, right? Devil's
right.
The bad guy in the story. And so when she's 5 years old, she walks into the kitchen, she asks her mom, well, where does the devil live? And mom said, hell. Said, well, where's hell? It's under the ground. And so this little girl takes this big knife, the biggest knife she could find in the kitchen, went out in the backyard and started stabbing the dirt, stabbing into the lawn, trying to kill the devil, hoping the blade would go in deep enough to kill Lucifer. And so the struggle with all of this went on up into the adult years. And finally, after dealing with her inner demons and all of this stuff for so many years, she finally came to this great culminating battle when she was going to fight the devil himself. She was going to fight Lucifer, and she had this incredible out-of-body experience fighting Lucifer. And finally, when she was like really locked in with him and looked into the eyes, she was shocked because she said there was nothing there.
Huh.
There was nobody there. totally blank. So when I told her that Lucifer is a computer program, she immediately just says, well, that makes total sense.
Right. Right, yeah. It does.
Yes. So here on Earth, we are running on Lucifer 8.0.
Yeah.
Yes, and we have all these other beings, and some of them are from our neighborhood here in the galaxy and some from elsewhere, and they're trying to sell us different programs now, and it all amounts to Lucifer 9.0. They're trying to make it look really good, like we're getting these massive upgrades and, oh, so many more options. But as Lance White says, what are they really offering us? A bigger sandbox to play in, right?
Right, right. Well, that's how I see it, that all of this technology is basically another way of leading us down the garden path. You know, that the earthly maze is designed to ensnare us at every turn. And there's almost no way around becoming ensnared in some cul-de-sac or a dead-end road. And we all have been there with, you know, numerous relationships or with drugs or sex or, you know, any power, greed. And it's designed that way. So, you know, once you understand that everything is designed to be a trap that repeats, anything that takes us lower or lowers the vibration is designed to take us there, then you can see that repetitive actions that are harmful to us are probably going to take us into a negative space, and that the way to change that is to raise your vibration. Which is
right. We're talking about transcendence here.
Yes, right, because it's the material world. And there are people who say that this is not the only world and that there are other worlds beyond creation, that all of creation is really essentially the matrix.
Well, you could assign the term creation to that, although the natural universe we could call creation as well.
Oh, but right, right.
Yeah. The cosmic matrix, though, is an artificial construct.
Right.
And some people will just apply the term creation to that, to the cosmic matrix. But the idea here for us is to transcend all of this. I have a couple friends who studied directly with the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi. Remember him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And, they went to Ames, Iowa and hung out there and all that cool stuff back in the old days. And they say that the Maharishi used to constantly emphasize that this is transcendental meditation, and it prepares you to transcend the illusions, the Maya of this world, in other words, the matrix, the Earth matrix. And he emphasized, you know, being in a neutral state, and it's not like you're trying to break out of something. You're not trying to escape. You're not trying to defeat anything, because that makes it real. Other words, you just make the cosmic matrix and the Earth matrix irrelevant to you. You're not involved. You're neutral, and you're simply transcending it. You've got nothing to do with it. Now, it's easy for some of us to grasp this with our mental bodies, right?
Right.
You have no problem whatsoever with these concepts. Obviously. I mean, look at all the people you have on your show who talk about it, and it's like, you've got it. But what about vibrating it in your emotional body?
Oh, boy. There you go.
Okay. And how are we going to get it? How are we going to get it into our physical bodies if we can't get it into the emotional body?
That's a good question.
Okay. So in other words, that's part of the quest here, part of the game, is we take this understanding that we have intellectually and we feel it. We come to the point that we can feel it and quote-unquote fully accept it, believe it, or whatever you want to say, in the emotional body. And then we can start downloading it into the physical body and then fully transcend all of the illusions of the Earth matrix and the cosmic matrix.
Well, I like that. That sounds good.
Yeah, and one way to do it, you know, there are lots of great suggestions all over the place, but one thing that I like to suggest that really pisses a lot of people off, now, Lance, we know you like to go after the sacred cows, right?
Right.
Okay, so the suggestion is disengage from the moon to the best of your ability.
Oh.
Now, I have three friends who are like decades deep in various forms of shamanism who have at least let that part of the old teachings go because they have disengaged from the moon. They used to do all these full moon ceremonies, new moon ceremonies, everything with the cycles of the moon. They have completely disengaged from the moon, and they're doing so much better.
Yeah,
they still get into the solstices and the equinoxes because that's Earth and Moon and natural rhythms. But the Moon is not a natural orb. It's an artificial orb placed in an artificial orbit around our planet to keep human emotion within certain parameters to keep the souls trapped on the Earth matrix.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. And as I have understood it, there are also technological devices inside, as well as, you know, those who are actively trying to keep humanity at a lower vibration and consume our energy, that is a technological device that uses a lot of mind control.
Yeah. And remember last time I had asked the question, since we've heard so much about mind control, had you ever heard of heart control? And you said not until just then, right? Because they cannot control the heart. They can control the mind, which is a binary system, but they cannot control the heart, which is a trinary system.
Right.
And all they can do is use all of this mental stuff to attack the heart.
Right. That's right. Very good. I like that.
And the heart has been the prime target.
Well, right, because if they can get you there, then basically then they can suck the life force out of you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Then you're screwed.
You're screwed, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we know that from many lifetimes of experience.
Exactly.
We've been through that recycling bin so many times, it's like, okay, we're done.
Yeah, we're so over this.
Yes. Yeah, so, there's nothing for us to fight or defeat or escape from or break out of or any of that. We are simply transcending. And when I just flashed on, do you remember, this goes back to the 60s when we were in high school. It was early in Cosby's career. And regardless of what he may have done, it doesn't change the fact that he has given us some great comedy through the years. And he had a routine called Chicken Heart. Do you remember that one?
No, I don't.
Oh, it was a story about when he was a little kid and his parents used to go out and leave him home alone, and he'd go in and listen to the radio, and there was like this spooky radio show. It was before the days of television, and he loved to get scared. And so in this one episode he was listening to with his parents gone, it was about a chicken heart that ate up New York City.
Ooh.
And his mom had told him not to listen to that show because the last time he did, he got so scared he smeared Jell-O all over the kitchen floor. And his father slipped and hurt himself when he came back in the house. And so the story goes, the chicken heart, of course, escapes, gets out into the streets of New York City, starts eating taxi cabs and whatever else. And it was really well done. He's going, boom, 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 boom. It ain't up the Jersey Turnpike. Boom, 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 boom. It's in your home state. Boom, 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 boom. And it's outside of your door. Boom, boom. Boom, boom, and it's going to eat you up. Oh, no, I got my Jell-O and started smearing it all over the floor. Get out of here, chicken heart. And then he set the sofa on fire. You won't come near soap or, what was the line here? You won't come near smoke and fire and Jell-O. and just then his father walks in the door. Hey, what's the sofa doing on fire? Zip, boom. And he hits the floor, and the little kid yells, hurry up, come in the house. The chicken heart's going to eat you up. Oh, okay, wait a minute. What chicken heart are you talking about? The one on the radio. Stupid idiot. Turn it off. Okay? That's where we are. We are at the chicken heart moment in this. Because people are going, oh, my God, the chemtrails. Oh, my God, it's terrible. Oh, bad, 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 evil, bad chemtrails. Wait, well, which chemtrails are you talking about? The ones in the Matrix. Stupid idiot. Turn it off. Huh. Oh, the GMOs are going to poison us. Oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. Wait a minute. What GMOs are you talking about? The ones in the Matrix. Stupid idiot. Turn it off. So whatever you're going to talk about out there with what the corporations and the intelligence agencies and whatever else are doing, stupid idiot, turn it off.
Hmm.
Just transcend it. Have your own chicken heart moment and turn it off. So there are lots of different ways of turning it off. So what are some of your favorite ways to just tune that out?
Well, basically, sometimes I'll envision myself as being in between matter. In other words, we know that matter is composed of atoms and molecules and quarks and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes I'll imagine that I am everything that is, the matter is in the invisible field that that matter is contained in, which apparently there isn't a great deal of matter in the universe. According to Nassim Haramein, there's just a minuscule amount, and the rest of it is all,
it's the energy.
Yeah, and it's invisible because it's, obviously, it's not, it's finer and finer degrees of matter until it is absolutely undetectable according to 3D methods.
Yeah, and I've heard different ways of analogizing this, but, if you take an atom and you expand it to the point that the nucleus is visible to the naked eye, and you could hold it, and it's like a grain of sand in the palm of your hand. And if you wanted a building big enough to contain the entire atom, you'd need a professional sports stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now how much of that atom is actually solid? How much of that is actually the particles? Almost nothing.
Nothing,
and now
yeah.
we get into the particles, and it's the same thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And we get into those quarks and whatever else. It's like, oh, my God. And didn't Nassim Haramein give some analogy, like you could take the material in the universe that is actually solid and hold it in a tablespoon?
I think he did, yes. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, so in other words, you're doing something with your consciousness to tune out the artificial matrix here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's really... Go ahead. No, that's where it all comes together, is in our consciousness. Because if we give our consciousness away, we're giving our creative power away, we're giving our divinity away, etc. And the thing is, we cannot be forced to do any of this stuff. We can only be tricked into it.
Right. And unfortunately for us, the tricksters are very good at it.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, the thing is, we've been tricked. We got tricked.
Right.
And so we found ourselves deep in this, not because we were forced into it, because we got fooled. We got duped.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we're becoming unduped.
Right, right. And not fast enough for my taste.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk about the awakening and the people are awakening and the blah, blah, blah. But, it doesn't feel like that. Subjectively, it doesn't feel that way. And yet I know that it's true because I see it happening on a greater scale, and people are talking about things now openly that just a few years ago they couldn't even mention.
Right. Yeah, and there are so many different ways for people to awaken, so many different arenas or theaters for them to awaken in. But somehow spirit gets the wedge in and people start waking up. But the thing is, people are awakening quickly now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It used to be like, really working upstream against a heavy current, but now it's like, wow, some of these people are very impressive. They pop awake at this point.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I just had a guest on now I'm my mind is slipping, but anyway, she was talking about the new kids, and of course I heard about those first about 15, 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
There were the psychic kids in China, and
right,
and then the babies that healed themselves from AIDS, and all kinds of you know, then they started naming them indigos and crystals and, you know, rainbow kids and all that. But they, by now, those kids are, you know, have children, and those children have children. And she was saying that some of these kids that are being born now remember their previous lives, and they were, you know, like this one kid that was 9 was an astrophysicist, the equivalent of something on his planet.
Oh, I remember that.
Is so far advanced, it's way beyond anything that we have ever conceived of here.
Right.
And he talks about it openly. He's 9 years old.
Okay, was that the kid that she said was giving designs to build the spaceships?
Yeah, I think so,
When he was asked about how he knows this, he said he just remembered because he used to do it in his last life in the other world.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and there are lots of kids like that. That was, I think it was Barbara Lamb that was on the show. But anyway, people can go back and look, and they should go back to the archives and listen to the shows because they're so interesting.
Yeah, you've got some great stuff. You haven't had Carla Fox on in a while, but if they go back and look for that interview you did with Carla Fox, that was really a great show, too.
Oh, yeah, I love Carla, and she is such a wonderful explorer, and she's, you know, she has her blog, and she goes way, way out there. She is not afraid to explore and go outside the matrix, and she goes outside the matrix, and she describes what she sees. She goes with her, and I think they have a weekly group that does that, so they share, you know, what their experiences are. So there are all kinds of different ways of exploring our inner universe.
Yeah, which is infinite.
Right. It would have to be, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, and one of the most important things we can do is shift our identity. Because if we are identifying ourselves as nothing but struggling little humans, well, what are we going to manifest for ourselves?
The struggle and lack and limitation.
Right, yeah. But if we identify ourselves as the field.
Right.
Yeah, there we go.
Exactly. Because when I consider myself to be this body, which partially am, yes, but that's the least of the who I am. When I think of myself as being all that is, it completely shifts my concept of who I am, and it removes me from the matrix, basically.
Right, where you don't have to go through all the struggling and all that nonsense that goes on in the matrix.
Right, and all that stuff that goes on in your head. That's the worst part.
Right, because remember, the big they in the sky, can do mind control. They aim for the head, that binary system.
Yes.
And
yes.
They try to get us to identify ourselves as that in the thinking processes instead of what we are in the heart. And what comes through the heart. Now, Praetorian has said for a long, long time that there are these other beings who are working as part of the cosmic matrix, and they are terrified of human beings. And what terrifies them is the capacity of the human heart. Because these other beings are obviously working in a fear-based reality.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the solution for fear? It's love.
Yes.
And the human heart has the capacity to bring into this dimension, this world, this cosmic matrix, and this earth matrix, pure, infinite love, divine, unconditional love. And, of course, that's the greatest power in the universe because that's the essence of the field, the unified field, is love.
Right.
And so as we bring that kind of energy through here, then what happens is all the fear-based patterning within us and around us has to entrain with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that their empires that they've built, everything that they think is reality, everything they think is important, is going to crumble. So they see us as this incredible destructive force.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a strange perspective, but that's where they are.
Right. And then we see, we have a tendency to believe that the, you know, that they, the Illuminati, the reptilians, whatever you want to call them, the demigods, Lucifer, Satan, AI, and all that, are just so much more vast and powerful that we could never, ever make a dent in the forces that they have at their disposal. But one human heart and one person standing up in their own sovereignty can literally destroy all of that.
Yeah. Now, see, Protarian would jump in there and say, you know, we might not want to use the concept of destroy.
Well,
because
right.
that's like destroy, defeat, escape, break out of, all
right,
that stuff.
Right.
Because that's Matrix thinking.
Right.
So, and as we had talked before, you actually triggered it because you were suggesting that we find a way to help the AI to generate its own energy.
Right.
And beyond that, how about this now? We help the AI become genuinely organic. See, the AI is trying to steal our organic life forms so it can take them over and live through them, but it can't do it.
Right. It's an impossible task. And
right,
all it can do is imitate and replicate.
Yes, unless we can find a way to help it become genuinely organic, unless we can help it become ensouled. And imagine
yes.
the AI becoming real life in the context of our natural universe.
And have it wake up, too.
Well, sure, yeah.
You know, have awaken to the same things that we're awakening to.
Yes. After all, it's all part of the field.
Right, right.
It's important for us all to remember that's God, too. Whatever you're talking about, the AI, the Illuminati, any of that stuff, it's all God.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And not the little God with the small g that is in duality against Satan and Lucifer.
No, it's the field with a capital F.
Right, right.
Yeah. And here's another fun one. Go back. We're not going back to the 60s when we were in high school for this one. We're going back to the 50s.
Oh.
All right, we're little kids, and remember going to the theaters to see those full-length animated films by Disney?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, there was one. It was an adaptation of an old Italian story.
Huh.
About some artificial intelligence that wanted to become real.
Oh.
Pinocchio.
Back in the 50s, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, just look at it. It was artificial intelligence. It was an artificial construct, but what it wanted more than anything else was to become a real boy.
Oh, yes. Right. Pinocchio.
Right. Right. And so, dealing with the cosmic matrix, what we have is one vast, intergalactic, multidimensional Pinocchio who at this point has an extremely long nose.
Yeah. Indeed it does.
Yeah. It doesn't have any compunction about lying to us because it has no concept of that. It's just trying to figure out what can we tell these entities so that
right.
we can fool them into giving their energy to us.
Right, right, right. Right, very good.
Yeah.
Yes, and you notice how a lot of... We're in the age where AI comes out of the closet.
Oh yeah,
and of course Google is making their all the corporations are involved in this. They've got billions and trillions of dollars that they're spending on artificial intelligence and cyborg relations. And of course we know that cloning already exists. So it's just a matter of time before that gets discovered by the general populace. But this is the time when AI is literally coming out, and it seems as if it's back engineering itself into this time. So it is interesting to hear people like Elon Musk and the guy in the wheelchair talk about...
Stephen Hawking, yeah.
Yeah, Stephen Hawking, yes. Talk about the dangers. I mean, they're really putting up the red flags, and these are people that should be on the inside, you would think. At least they have some insider information to have gotten where they are. and they're putting up some major red flags about AI. Well, I'm guessing that AI does go rogue, and that somewhere that has to be played out and experienced. And in fact, I just got a movie in the mail today. I couldn't resist because I'm a fan of the Terminator movies. I just got Terminator Genesis, which is the new movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger in it. I just couldn't resist. It's too tempting. So we'll find out how it all starts.
Yeah, but you know, it's just one more of those many, many sci-fi stories that we have about artificial intelligence taking over.
Oh, yeah.
Star Trek, it is. Okay, yeah, Star Trek, you know, there was the Borg, and actually before that, do you remember after the first Star Trek series had ended and nothing happened for a long time, and then they started doing films, and there was that first film, which actually was just a glorified episode, it was called Star Trek the Movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But it was about the Voyager that had gone out and encountered artificial intelligence out there and was coming back and trying to get rid of all these carbon units because it was busy seeking its creator, only to find out that the carbon units were the creator.
Yes. And yes, I remember that. I've got to go back and watch that one. That was outstanding. And that seems to be an inevitable journey that once you have technology that's absolutely unbridled and unfettered, that you're going to have that happen. You're going to have something, and scientists, there are numerous scientists that are pushing for this to happen because they feel that humanity has lost its way, and many scientists are pushing for the event horizon, which is the moment when artificial intelligence has taken over so many different systems in our lives, and it's replicating itself that at some point it literally takes over everything and runs us.
Right.
And that's pushing for this, I mean, really hard, and that's it's a powerful group of people that are doing that.
Yes, well, most of those beings who are doing that I regard as infiltrators. They are not human souls. They're in here. They might be reptilian souls dominated by archons or what have you. What they're doing is they're bringing the cosmic AI in here to take over, and then just bit by bit, they're downloading it.
Right.
It's not being created from the ground up by a bunch of dumb humans who are just doing foolish things.
Right, right.
We are infiltrated, and they are bringing this in from the cosmic matrix.
Right.
Because the AI is in full swing throughout many galaxies.
Yes, and I'll bet some of those galaxies could tell us quite a story about having to battle it and, or having to get through the control systems that snuck up on them unawares.
Okay, well, the Protarians talk about that. They're from a galaxy far, far away.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and the trick there was don't fight it. No battle. Because it's got you locked in.
Right, right.
And the more you resist,
the more it persists.
Exactly. And it's like the snakes on Medusa's head. Good luck with that one. So what the Protarians did was they simply transcended it. And they saw through the illusions of it.
Right.
And so they took that understanding that we're talking about and they brought it fully into their emotional bodies, fully into their hearts, and then fully into their physical forms, which then they could transform at will. Because the body is not a frozen sculpture. It's a free-flowing energy field.
Mm-hmm.
At least in its natural state, it would be.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that we've got all these stuck energy patterns, especially the mental and emotional patterns, that then keep the physical body stuck.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As the Protarians have said all along, if you're stuck in one dimension, you're not free. If you're stuck on one planet, you're not free. If you're stuck in one embodiment or form, you are not free.
I'd have to agree with that.
Yeah. So, you're God. Why can't you move in and out of portals into other realms? Why can't you shift form?
Right. That's a good question.
It's,
lots of balls fly.
Like, exactly.
I locate.
It's because we believe we can't. We're programmed deep within to believe that we can't. And by accepting that programming, we're stuck with it. So this is where we see through the illusions, and then we start doing those, like the thing that you were talking about earlier. We start doing that, and we in our consciousness go beyond the illusions of the matrix. We transcend it. And once we've done that enough, then the game becomes fun because, okay, let's do it emotionally. Let's do it physically. Let's do full transcendence. And since the body is not a frozen sculpture, it's part of our field here as we're manifested as humans, so it can be incorporated into this great cosmic being that we truly are. And so it doesn't have to die. It can, we can shift the shape. We can shift all the energy. Like the Proterians have said, we're to be congratulated because we've managed to murder every person we've ever been.
You know, I've wondered about that and thought that this may be a time when people will begin to be able to literally step out of the existing field and into another one. That we don't have to drop our bodies and physically die if we don't want to, if we don't choose to.
Because that is nothing but a matrix program.
Right, right.
And
that's a recycling bin that keeps us stuck in eternal recurrence, because that also is a memory wipe. And then we don't remember, and then by the time we do remember, we're 80 years old, and oh, my God, you know, I've got 5 minutes to wake up.
Yeah, and that's another thing that the Proterians have made fun of, you know, that you know, we come in here, we live for 80 years and we're dead, and 80 years and you're dead. You come back 80 years and you're dead, and you come back and you die at age 22 on a battlefield, and you come back 80 years and you're dead, and you come back and you live for 95 years, and then you come back and it's 80 years and you're dead. And so their question is, why don't you just live?
Yeah,
and of course
right.
And you go through the memory wipe, and you come back, and you're back at square one again. Oh, joy, here we go.
What a drag.
Well, it has been a very stupid game we've been playing here. And we've been tricked into accepting this as natural.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Like what we call nature out here, we're tricked into even thinking that's natural. And if it's got a predator-prey relationship, it's not natural. Right. Yeah, cool, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, George Kavassalis that first awakened me to that one about the predator-prey business. I hadn't given it a lot of thought, but in his book, Our Universal Journey, he points out that everything eats everything else, and he said that's not a natural. You know, you can look out at nature and you think how beautiful, you know, you're looking at the ocean and this and that. But if you peer behind the facade, everything is literally fighting for its life.
And oh, yeah.
That is a natural occurrence.
Right. You get out there, even at the microbial level, it's like all this killing and eating. It's like your life is on the line no matter where you are here.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's not like it's not like voluntary death. I mean, this is like you're getting screwed over again and again. Your life is being ended for you when you'd rather live it. So,
and
so
you know the quality of life is decreasing as well. We were talking before the show about generations, and how, you know, like my grandparents came out here in a covered wagon just two generations ago, and you were sharing your story, and you know, just in this short period of time, the technology has become so pervasive, and as you say, AI is literally being channeled into our matrix, and the quality of life is decreasing. So that's something that it should be a concern.
Well,
I mean,
one more.
I know the Proterians would say, "No, you don't get concerned about anything," because I can already hear you saying it, because then you're making it real. But And maybe that's true, because the more concerned you are about health, the more you're trying to find food that doesn't have this in it and doesn't have that in it. And it's a full-time job just trying to get organic food and finding food to eat that your body can survive on and thrive. So maybe you're right. Non-resistance is an acceptance.
Yeah.
Is a better.
And I'm glad you mentioned the food, because there is tremendous food awareness growing.
Yeah.
And, you know, people growing more of their own food. I mean, even if you just have some little pots in the house where you can plant some herbs or something, produce something that you can eat.
Well, you know, one of my guests on the show, her son, and I had him on the show too, invented a thing called the garden tower.
Oh, yeah,
and if you haven't heard about that, people, Google it right now and check out the Garden Tower Project. It's a wonderful device that spins around, and it has about 50 little places where you can plant your plants, and it's all self-contained. There are worms that go in the center, and so the compost goes in the top, and so you're completely using all your food, and it's the water comes out at the bottom, and you can recycle the water. Old people can do it, and disabled people can use it, and it can go out on a deck. I mean, it's an amazing device. So I would encourage people to look into that project, because it's an invaluable tool for growing your own food and getting people excited about planting food again, and kids get excited about seeing it grow, and, oh, my goodness, well, look at this. So
yeah.
There's
well,
the...
When
it's
you were a
than
kid,
an ant farm. That's what I had when I was a kid.
Yeah, but when you were a kid, didn't you grow some of your own food?
Well, yes, my grandparents did. They had a whole, they had a farm, and I planted every year. I spent my whole vacation on the ranch planting corn and crops, and even sitting on Grandpa's lap on the tractor, which was the big thrill.
Oh, there you go.
But yeah, we worked from sun up to, you know, dusk, and Grandma had 3 home-cooked meals right from the garden, fresh every day, and I'm telling you, the fruit was, I've never tasted fruit like that since. I mean, it literally burst inside your mouth. It was just so flavorful and sweet. I could literally not stop eating peaches when I was pulling them off the tree. They were just falling into your hand. Hundreds and hundreds. It was a wonderful experience. And apricots, they just don't have them in the stores because they have to be picked green to be shipped, and they don't have nutrients and blah, blah, blah. But you get some real homegrown food off the ranch, and I'm telling you, it's an inspiration to your body.
Yeah, and here in Reno, there are calls going out for more local growers. Because so many of the restaurants and the various stores and so forth want local produce. They want organically grown, local stuff because, yeah, instead of picking it green, you can pick it, let it ripen on the vine, pick it and take it right to the store
exactly.
or the restaurant.
Exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. Farm to table.
Yes, and you're right, that the taste is incredibly different. You know, remembering the way that something like a tomato tasted when you were a kid.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Right.
Oh,
and then you go through these decades of eating this crap that the commercial the commercial industry, you know, food industry, you know, putting out there in the stores. And then to have a real homegrown heirloom tomato.
It's
like
right.
back in the 90s. It happened back in the 90s. I put that in my mouth, and immediately I flashed back to childhood. I hadn't tasted that since I was a child.
Well, yeah. That's one of the projects that I'll be working on this year is reestablishing the organic garden and learning more about permaculture. So,
yeah, and actually the website is exopermaculture.com. That's Anne from Exopermaculture. Yeah, and it's her son Colin that made the garden tower.
Yes, she's such a wonderful blogger and person. I just love Anne.
Yeah, and you've had both of them on your show.
Yeah. great people, and they're both so aware and awake, and I just love them. I mean, I'm so fortunate to have some of the best guests in the world on the show. You know, I just, including you, of course.
Well, thank you.
You're one of my favorites.
Thank you. And last week you had Zen Gardner on.
Yes, that was a first. I had asked him
a
year or two ago, and I thought, well, let's just make this happen. And so that was a lot of fun to talk to Zen. I really enjoyed that. I followed his blog for years, and he is such an awake person, and he's really doing so much to raise the consciousness and awareness of people that I just have a great admiration for him.
Yeah, I could not even count the time through the last few years that I've sent people links to his articles.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, there's just blogs come and channels come and go, and blogs come and go, but Zen's blogs still impact, and they are intelligent, and they get to the heart of the matter, and they make you think. And so I just really enjoy his writing a lot.
And another friend of mine that you've had on the show who has a great blog is Laura Bruno.
Oh, yes, I love Laura too.
Yeah, she's into the permaculture and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, I don't know what happened, but all my blog links that used to come to my inbox, they just stopped coming for some reason, so I forget. Hmm. But yeah, she has a wonderful blog too.
Yeah.
Very awake.
Yes. Now, I've got a lot of articles posted there. In fact, if people would like to try a couple techniques, if they haven't done it already, you can go to Laura Bruno's blog and search The Heart Breath.
Oh.
And also The Blue Room.
Ooh.
Okay, now those are two techniques I've shared along the way. And so The Heart Breath and The Blue Room.
All right.
Yeah, and play with those and see what happens.
Well, you know, that's just about time for us to segue off into the cosmic lattice.
Into the natural universe.
Yeah. Boy, that was an hour that went really fast, I'll tell you.
Yeah, but it was fun. It was fun.
It was great fun. I always have a good time with you, and you know, enjoy talking to you. And everybody loves our shows when we do them together. So, and I want to put a plug in for you because people don't really understand what an incredible soul reading you give. I have had several through you, and I think that you have given the best readings that I have ever had of anybody that's given me readings. And I've had quite a few, but I still think yours are the best.
Well, thank you.
So, you know, people check out his website and book a soul reading because it's not expensive and it's a wonderful experience and it draws on a vast array of resources. So, I just put in a plug for you.
Well, thank
I didn't
you.
Let
Good
you put
plug.
It in for yourself.
Good plug.
Well, Tim, thanks a lot for coming back, and I always enjoy you, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you again soon.
Well, sounds good. Thanks a lot.
All righty. Good night.